Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav. Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav. We left off right at the bottom of Daf Hey Amud Beis. Just to get our bearings, we've been focused on the Isra Lav of Bal Tachar. We got into it because we spoke about we actually had a 5-way machlokes about Bal Tachar, but we got into it because we had spoken about Yom Tovim being in order and the first Yom Tovim being Pesach, and the relevance of that was according to the opinion that once only ever Bal Tachar after 3 Yom Tovim, with Pesach being the first, more really, that was the basis of our Mishnah. Pesach is an Adar, and in Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for the Yom Tovim. But really, the source of that man number is Pasuk, Rosh Shimon, was the fact that Sukkot has to be the last. But we had 5 Shitas, when one's ever Bal Tachar, either any 3 Yom Tovim in a row, or 3 Yom Tovim in a row, starting with Pesach, which we pointed out can end up being a year and a half, because he makes a pledge right after Pesach, it'll come up again today's daf. He makes a pledge right after Pesach, he has till the end of the next year, Sukkot, till he's ever. We had Rameir who said, person's ever Bal Tachar, right away after 1 Yom Tov, we had Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lezer Yaakov. Rabbi Lezer Yaakov said 2 Yom Tovim, and Rabbi Lezer Shimon said the Yom Tov Sukkot. So it's kind of like a blend between Meir and Rabbi Lezer Yaakov. He holds it could be 1 Yom Tov, it could be 2 Yom Tov, it could be 3 Yom Tovim. The main focus is Sukkot. That was the final Shita. Okay, so in yesterday's daf, we went through a brisa that discusses the source Darshan Zepsukim for various dinim of Bal Tachar, for the source that one's Erev Bal Tachar in different scenarios, different cases, in Dharm, Medavis, Karban, Stakas, Lekach, Shechapeya, and then the Pasuk ends off over there, V'haya B'cha Chet, there's a Chet on a person who delays and doesn't fulfill these pledges in the right amount of time, but we Darshan, the Chet is in the person, V'loy B'Karban Chachet, even though he delayed and didn't mean the Karban the right amount of time, the Karban will not have a Chet, meaning the Karban will not be puzzle. The Karban is Lakash, just a Chet in the person. Ask the Gemara, we're speaking outside the last square yesterday. But we learned that already from Bechar. By Bechar, we see that even Bechar, he's supposed to bring it in the first year. But if one does not bring it in the first year, it's still kosher to bring afterwards. And presumably, we can learn from Bechar to other Kabanas that even though it missed its man, it's not literally of his man, but the Kabanah does not apply. Even though a person said about Tacher, he's still the Karban, still kosher, doesn't pass the Karban, he just used Ayran Alav. So why came in there from Bechar? Who needs the Pasuk of Vahay Bechachet, and we darshan from there? And not v'loy b'karban chachet, answered the Gemara yesterday at the bottom of the Amid, because the Bechar is not a carbon of Artsa. It's not a carbon of Ritzah. It's not like a kapara or Ritzah. It's a firstborn, the Zachiv, the Torah says, one's Bechir to give it to the Kain and bring it as a carbon. But it doesn't have Ritzah. Maybe carbonus of Ritzah, you lose the Ritzah. You don't get the Ritzah of Kadosh Baruch Hu. You don't get that desired carbon that whatever that's, whatever's created. Again, it's similar to kapara, but sometimes not Mamshi kapara. Eilish Laman cannot be, not necessarily the kapara, even though Eilish we say is a mechaper on Bittul Aseh. But Eilish is not necessarily a kapara. Eilish could be more of just creating a doron, creating a relationship, but it creates a ritzui. So that ritzui maybe you wouldn't get after Bal Tachar, so we still need another source. Ask him or still. Last words of the page. Last word of the page. Vakati, top of Vav Amud Aleph. Vakati, are you telling me you need it for the pasuk of V'hayu B'chachet, L'hayu B'chachet, L'hayu B'chachet? We know it's from Mid Ben Azay Nafka. We learned from Ben Azay, the time of the Rebbe's Ben Azay Eimer. Isay matam lemer pasuk isay. This is talking about by pigle. Is that the word isay? Lefishin emar leisach l'shalma. We have a pasuk our sugi which says leisach and one should not be delaying bring a carbon. He's ever allowed for delaying. Shemiani af ma'achin nidrei b'bal yiratza. I would think that also one who's ma'acher he delays bringing his neder is also subject to b'al yiratza. I mean the pasuk by pigle says it's lo yiratza, but it sticks in the word isay. You know what the word isay is telling me? I would have thought that b'al tachar also it's lo yiratza. The carbon's not is considered l'yiratza. It's not accepted. Tam lemer isay. Says isay is a me. I would have thought that machanidre is included in the lo yiratza, the carbon not being accepted. I say it's a meat to say no pigle. That's when it's not accepted. But by when a person is ma'acher on his nether, so even though he's ever ba'acher, the carbon is still accepted. So that's another source that the carbon is still accepted. Ella asked the Gemara, you're right. So back to the question, who needs the drasha of b'chachet v'loy b'karban chachet? We have it from pigle. Gemara says, you're right. Ella b'chachet v'loy b'shtachet. The chait is in the person himself and not in his wife. Meaning, Sagadech Amin, I would have thought of Rabbi Yechanan, Vitei Rabbi Lazar, Ein ishtesh al damesa elam keim mevakshim emenu mamev einlai. A person's wife is not nifter unless they ask him for money, for basically not that time asking for money, and he's saying, I'm not pledging money. We're talking about money that he pledged. They're asking him, can you come fulfill your pledge? And he doesn't fulfill it. He doesn't keep his pledge. So that's the case where the person's wife dies. So since, and what's the source of that? Shenemar, like the pasuk says, if you don't have which to pay, why should they take mishkaf? Literally means your bed. Why should your bed be taken from beneath you? We dash to mean why should the one that lies with you, the wife, be taken from beneath you for not fulfilling another? Ema, so because we see that when one is pledges money and he doesn't fulfill it, the wife is nebuch punished. And she's taken away from him. Aim, we'll get back to that in a second. Ema b'haik avayin d'bal tachar na mishtemesa. So I would think not only if he doesn't fulfill the pledge, even if even if he delays the pledge. Bal ta'achar is the same idea, delaying the pledge. Also, kamash b'an the no, v'ayi b'chachet, kol zman it's bal ta'achar, it's just being delayed. Kol zman it's bal ta'achar, it's being delayed. It is b'chachet, it's a chet in the person, and not going to affect his wife's punishment. If he doesn't fulfill the pledge, that's when it's going to be a nevach punishment to the wife. So, Tesis, before you get to the obvious question, the wife's being punished for his averus, right? Before we get to that, Tesis actually points out, Rashi in Zvachim learns that what do they mean vakish money for? Rashi learns gezel. The person that stole the money, they ask him to pay back, and he doesn't have to pay back. That's when his wife's getting punished. Tesis says, no, it's talking about pledges, the way we explained it. Why? Like we find the Gemara also says, Bavay Nedarim Ishtay Mesa. It's another Gemara, where the Gemara says that a person's wife, Nebuch, is taken away, Bavay Nedarim, by him not keeping his pledge, the wife is taken away. So the Chashuk Yechemin explains, he's going on a specific case where a woman said her husband is making these pledges, he's not keeping it, and I'm the one, she was a learned woman, or she knew about this Gemara at least, right, very pertains to her directly, I'm going to get killed because he's not keeping his pledges, this is, get me a divorce, get me out of this, I can't live this way. And the Chashuk Yechemin says that Avada, the Gemara, this idea that Bavay Nedarim Ishtay Mesa, or our Gemara, it says that Lama Yikach Mishchav, why is your wife taken away from underneath you for not fulfilling your pledge, according to Zayis, according to Rashi, not paying back the Gzela, is only by an Isha that was by any way Mechoyiv Misa. What does that mean? That means she's Mechoyiv Misa, but we know it's actually Rabbi Chanan. They still, Rabbi Chanan says almost an identical idea, and they use it to explain the Pasuk in Hazinu. Hatsur Tamim Palei, Kichol Derachim Mishpat, Kehla Muna Vein Avel. It's like double shyness about a Kadosh Baruch Hu's judgment being fear. What's the double Lashon? What's the added Lashon? So Rabbi Chanan explains, because let's say a person's Mechoyiv of punishment, but the people around him are Mechoyiv to suffer that loss of that person. So Reuven, let's say, deserves to be punished. But his wife, Shimon, doesn't deserve to be a widow. Reuven's being saved because of his wife's merit. So what we're saying is, Bavayin Nedarim Ishtay Mesa means the Isha was Mechoyiv Misa. For whatever reason, we're not saying she was a terrible person, but for whatever reason, she was Kapaskin for Misa. And the saving grace for her would have been her husband's merit. For some reason, why Dafka Nedarim? I don't know. But if he doesn't keep Nedarim, then that savior is gone. It says Chashuk Yechemin, Avada, step one is, she's Mechoyiv Misa. If she was Mechoyiv Misa, he says to her, listen, yes, you don't have the protection of your husband, but he's not the one causing you to die. I mean, even Gemara says, that again, it's not the Pasha, the Pasha is Mashma, that the wife is punished for death because of the husband's actions. But again, the Chashuk Yechemin, Rabbi Chanan says the same thing, they both say this concept, that only when she was Rei Mechoyiv anyway, she loses the husband's ability to save her because of his lack of keeping his Nedarim. That is the idea over here, that his saving is gone, but not that he's causing to be killed. Fine. Correct. Children are, I mean, the Gemara does bring specific avinas, not crying when it's talking about in Shabbos, right? Not crying when it's talking about Chacham, when it's got the Aldar is nifter. Children, right? Which, even, that's actually, I'm glad you brought that up, Sully, because that Gemara to me is a pella. And I think this Rabbi Chanan is just saying, I mean, probably said it by Daf in Shabbos, but I used to answer the Kasha of the Gemara Shabbos a bunch of years back. Because the Gemara there says that if a person cries over the death of a Talmid Chacham, he's zeichet to kval, the wonderful children that can become Talmid Chacham. And if he does, his children die. The way it typically works is that if somebody's a terrible Aveira, so not doing it is not the biggest merit, right? If you don't say a person is Aveira Aveira Zara, it's Shrekach punishment. If he's Aveira Zara, he's the Tzadik Seid Elam. You don't go from extreme to extreme. So what's the pshat over here? And b'chal, what's the pshat that a person, again, his children should die because he didn't cry over Talmid Chacham, over Gadol dying? I'm not minimizing it, but the person should die, his children should die because he didn't cry over the Gadol. So we want to say a similar idea to Rabbi Chanan, that Avada, we're talking about a person that for whatever reason the children were kapaskin to go to Misa. And the merit of crying over Talmid Chacham, over Gadol dying, would have saved them. And that same merit makes a person whose children were not necessarily Paskin for negative things to become gedolim, to become chachamim. All that's meritous, but not that a person whose children were everything was regular and there's no psak just because he didn't cry for the gedolim, the children are going to die. Same idea. It's talking about it already was gepaskin and he lost the saving that would have happened through crying for the gedolim. That saving was lost, but not that I'm not minimizing again, not properly mourning the loss of a gedol. But the point is, it seems extreme, it's only like the Chashuk Yechemin and Rav Chanan saying over here, when they, for whatever reason, there already was such a psak, and crying for the gadol would have been a saving, perhaps. Okay, says the Gemara, again, so we're saying, the B'chachet is telling us that the B'chachet, this din, that a woman, man's wife, will not be saved, she'll be punished, only happens with not being mekayem the neder, now about the acher, frekt the ritva, to heaven. Okay, so according to this Chashuk, based on Tashvah's Gemara, that neder causes, being without the neder causes the punishment. But without being without the neder, Baal Tachar will not cause the punishment. So how are you ever going to punish the wife? As long as the guy's alive, most of the Dharm, he'll be able to fulfill the neder still. until he dies without fulfilling the neder, he didn't was mevatel the neder. Baal Tachar, yes. If Baal Tachar was the cause of her to get punished, it makes sense. But if it's until he's mevatel the neder, as long as he fulfills it down the road, so the simple answer to Rabin gives one of his answers, it was a time-related neder. He was supposed to do something by a certain amount of time, by a certain date, and he blew it. So you can't say he'll make it up later. He didn't do it. He didn't do the nether. The part of the nether was based on time. Maybe there was a certain need, and now the need is no longer there, but it was based on time, and therefore that could be the case, where a person was over Baal Tachar, or wasn't, but Baal Tachar is not the critical factor. Being over the nether would be the critical factor. Or if the guy makes up in his mind, interesting chiddush that the Torah says, if the fellow makes up in his mind, I'm not fulfilling this nether, then even though he's still alive and he still could change his mind and do the nether, that would be considered already a form of not fulfilling the nether, that his wife could be punished. But Baal Tachar, the fact that he's delaying it, that wouldn't be enough. He'd be ever alive, of course, but that wouldn't be enough for the wife to be punished. The Rashi wants to say that enechanami, but what it means is like this. Baal Tachar will never cause the wife to be punished. Not fulfilling the nether will cause the wife to be punished. But what it means is, let's say the person was over Baal Tachar for a while. Kol's man, he didn't fulfill the nether, his wife's in danger. Even though he still can, but he didn't. Not because of Baal Tachar, because he's not fulfilling his nether. Once he fulfills the nether, even though it's 3 years late, all they have left is, he fulfilled the nether, but he was Eva Baal Tachar, that Baal Tachar won't hang against his wife. But the not fulfilling the nether is every day that he doesn't fulfill the nether, which we'll actually see later in the daf, that every day a person doesn't fulfill the nether, there's a new din of Baal Tachar. We'll see that, but the point is, the not fulfilling the nether part is Tachar presents a danger till he fulfills the nether. Okay, so that's the more further. Tanaban, Brisa, we're going to darshan a pasuk about...
What's the kasha?
It was more of a shayla. The shayla was, when's it relevant that the wife's going to die, or let's just maybe punished, because he didn't fulfill the nether? If it's al tzbal tachar delaying, then it makes sense. As long as he delayed past his man, the wife is being punished. But if it's not fulfilling the nether, he can always fulfill the nether still. Until he dies, he can fulfill the nether. The answer is, we're talking about either a nether that he already blew, of his manay, a nether that already the time has passed, or he made up in his mind not to fulfill the nether, or every day till he fulfills the nether is considered... Sorry, the connection is a little schwach.
Okay.
Sorry. Says the word. Tell about it.
Most nedarim don't last.
Right. That's really true. That's true. Second teretz. That we're talking about a ned that's totally in his man, not for the rest of his life. It's essentially what you're saying is the true in second teretz. That's the Shagazai's teretz. Tarabban. When the pasuk says that which comes out of his mouth, the next word is going to be he has to watch it. That refers to mitzvasei. Tishmer, so mitzvasei. Azhar vasisa is azhar lebezdin sheyasucha. Vasisa is azhar for bezdin to make sure the person fulfills his neder. Kasher adarta ze neder. Kasher adarta means a neder l'sham lekecha. Elu chatayis b'shamis eilus. That refers to chatas ashamis and eilus and shlamim. Nedava kibashmar. Nedava means nedava, which means like a voluntary pledged. A pledge. Asher dibarta, elu kach b'tik abayis, that's kach b'tik abayis, b'ficha, so it's taka, therefore it's taka. So all these things we're saying have a din that a person has to watch what he says, he has to keep a timely manner to fulfill his pledges. Amar. Maitis v'zecha, what does that mean? Zumis v'zasei, it's v'zasei, lamali, who needs a second source that one is a chiv to keep his words by mitzvah say, by his pledges. We had the pasuk just the other day. We should know that from the pasuk says, you come there, when you come up to the other regal, and you fulfill your carbon, you bring your carbon there. Isn't that a raya that there's a chiv to keep one's pledges? Next, Tishmar, Zuz, let's say, again, Tishmar is telling me, Lashon of Tishmar, watching, is be careful, watch, it's like a Lashon of Lav, don't, neglect to bring your pledge. Says Amar Lamali, why do I need that lav? Malay sa'achla shamanavka. That's our lav we've been talking about the past couple of bat. Baal Tachar, we know that it's a lav. Vasisa, asar the bezin yasukha, isisa asar of a bezin, should make sure you keep your vow. Again, Lamali, mi yakav aisei nafka. We know that from Yakav aisei, the time we learned in the Braisa. Yakav aisei, milamach kaif aisei. Yakav aisei tells us that we force the person to bring the carbon that he's supposed to bring. Yachal bal karchi, you think you mamash force kaba karchi, tamalim ner tzainai. Therefore, the pasuk says the Ritzainai, it has to be done the Ritzainai according to his will. Ha-ketzad, how does that work? If you're forcing him, how's it according to his will? How is the guy doing it willfully if he's being forced? Those two things are a contradiction. Ha-ketzad, famous Gemara, Kaifanai saying, Ad Shemir Ritzani. We force him until he says Ritzani. Okay, so the problem is we have on the first beginning of the Braisa, a source that is a lav to delay, or I skipped, I say, and I say to keep one's pledge, a lav to delay one's pledge, and the fact that Bezdin, that we force him, are all, we have other sources for all three of these dinim. Why do we need a separate pasuk for these three dinim when we already have different sources for these three dinim? I'm going to explain in a second, but before we get there, The Gemara is telling us Yasucha, that Beis Din forces a person to keep his pledge. Keeping a pledge is a mitzvah. Is a mitzvah. Well, it depends where. But a pledge by tzedaka, the Torah explains that a person who gives tzedaka is going to get schar. We have halacha that when the Torah gives matan schar next to a mitzvah, the Beis Din doesn't force. There's a klal. Beis Din only forces a mitzvah, where the schar is not written betzida. Where the schar is written betzida, Beis Din doesn't force such a mitzvah. So the question is asked, there's actually a... It's the klal said in Chulin Daf Kafiyud about Beis Din not forcing when the schar is written betzida. But Tosfos above Basra asks that L'chayra Ar Gemara is saying by tzedaka, we're saying Yasucha, Beis Din forces by tzedaka, but tzedaka is a mitzvah with man schar is betzida, and still you see Beis Din forcing. How does that stem with the Gemara Chulin? There's six answers, actually a lot more than six, but six answers we're going to quote for this kasha. Tosfos over there, Basra brings four answers. First of all, Tosfos says that the forcing over here by tzedaka, again, not the other pledges necessarily, but the tzedaka, the forcing is a verbal forcing. When we say Beis Din doesn't force when there's a mitzvah with man schar is betzida, it means they don't physically force, but a verbal forcing that they could do. That's Rabbeinu Tam's first answer. Rabbeinu Tam's second answer is that if a city accepts upon themselves that they are allowing Beis Din to force, that giving tzedakah to force the pledges of tzedakah, then Beis Din could force. The standard then is Beis Din doesn't force when the schar is written in the Torah near the mitzvah. But in a case where a city accepts upon themselves that Beis Din should be able to force, then of course Beis Din can force. That's Rabbeinu Tam's second answer. The Ri says that there's a leisa say, leisa ametz levavi, you shouldn't be stingy. So the Beis Din is not forcing on the assay, they're forcing on the leisa say, which over here too, really, based once he's saying that, you can see b'chol over here, we have leisa and assay. We're saying tzedakah is included, we have the assay of mitzvah v'zech tishmar, and we have the leisa say of tishmar, the word tishmar. So once you have a leisa say, no longer is it shver, they're not forcing the assay shabbai, they're forcing the leisa shabbai. That is the Ri's teretz, the Ritzba, I think it is, yeah, the Ritzba says that Beis Din isn't mechuyev to force, but the latter force. Gemara Chulin says Beis Din doesn't force for nasei, where the man schar is besida. Doesn't mean Beis Din's not allowed to force, it means Beis Din's not mechuyev to force. But if they choose to, they can, and by tzedakah they choose to. The Mechas Chinuch answers that tzedakah is not considered man schar besida. Why? Because tzedakah is mentioned, the mitzvah tzedakah is mentioned multiple times in the Torah. It's different references to giving tzedakah. Only once is the man schar besida. The mitzvah says kibbut av aim. Right? Wherever it's mentioned kibbut av aim, it says next to it, in the man yirichin yimecha. That's it. Keep up aim, man yirichin yimecha, right? So, I mean, I'm not sure it's every single time in Torah, so maybe it's a bad example. But the point is, a mitzvah weird always connects the schar with the mitzvah, that's when we say man schar is betzida. If the mitzvah is written multiple times in Torah, and the man schar is written once, not every time, then you don't have the klal, the basic is the force, and less teretz, b'chayim zitzal, want to say a geshmaka, alumnus, they say b'shem b'chayim, it's not written down, but say b'shem b'chayim, that Beis Din has an obligation to disperse and to look over the needs, the tzedakah needs of the kila. That's Beis Din's general obligation. People have a mitzvah, an obligation to give tzedakah. When Beis Din is enforcing the people to fulfill their pledge by tzedakah, they're not doing it, but terrorists them fulfilling their assays. Beis Din, even the Yasucha in our pasuk is general, forcing the people to fulfill the pledges, the guy be the karbanas, the guy be the kibayas, the guy be various things. When it comes to tzedakah, Beis Din is doing it because they're fulfilling their own obligation to oversee the tzedakah needs of the community. That's a different yasucha, different forcing, and therefore that's not considered Beis Din forcing matters in a case of man schar betzida, where the schar is written, because they're not forcing it al tasei of the giver. They're forcing us their own obligation to take care of the tzibra tzedakah needs. Now we said over here that you're by a carbon, we said that we force even makarche. How do we know that? Because even though it says Ritzainai, we're kaifin aisai achir reitani. We're forced the person until he says, I want to do it. Let's start step one. Taisu says the kasha that every assay, we're kaifin. We're kaifin on any chiv assay, where Beis Din does force. Again, we just pointed out a minute ago. When the man schar is betzida, we don't force. But every other assay, we do force. So we have to come on to a special limit over here that by a carbon we force, right? So Taisu says, the answer is halgufa, because it says Ritzainai. We knew that over here it says Ritzainai, and therefore the most question which right away asks, how you tell me you force him? I saw Ritzainai. I mean, we knew this Ritzainai, so we need a special pasuk to say over here that even over here where it says Ritzainai, you can force him at Shem Ritzainai. So what's Takab Shah? How does that work? The Mar said, okay, son, you force him to say Ritzainai. So you're twisting someone's arm, and he says, okay, I want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. He wants you to stop twisting his arm. He doesn't want to do it. So the famous Rambam explains that yes, that deep down in the recesses of everyone's heart, they want to do the right thing. So when they're forced, yes, they're saying yes now, they're agreeing because they want you to stop twisting their arm. But they're deep down, they really want to do what's correct. And therefore, it's like, the way I understand it, you can mitzaref his deep down desire to what's correct and his verbal declaration that, yes, I want to do it, and that combines to make what's called a rutzen, even though on the face of it, what's making him do it is certainly the arm twisting. Okay, says the word further. So we're by Kasha now. We had sources in our Gemara from the Pesukim, Mitzvah Sechet Tishmar, right? And Yasucha, we have sources that there's a mitzvah say to keep the darim, a leisa say, and we force, and we have other sources fall through those dinim. So why do we have a repetition? Answers the Gemara, chad damar v'le'afresh, chad afresh v'le'akrev. There's two different madrigas within a pledge. One case is the guy made the pledge, but he never even was mafresh the carbon they planned to give for that pledge. The chad afresh v'le'akrev. In one case, he made the pledge, he designated the carbon, and now he's delaying in bringing the carbon. And the Mark explains to Tzricha, I need a pasuk for both these stages. If you tell me the case where he made the pledge, but he didn't even designate the carbon yet, I said, Mishnah Loikam Lidibure. Mamish didn't fulfill his words. He made a pledge. He hasn't even designated the carbon. So therefore he's over the say, let's say, and we force him, all the deen apply. Avil, in a case of Afresh Lakav, where he made the pledge, he designated the carbon. So he's already spent the money. He designated the carbon. He already made the carbon kaddish. He just didn't bring it. I could hear a tzata say, he fulfilled his pledge. What was his pledge? I'm going to bring a chata. You can't pledge a chatas. I'm going to bring an ayla. He set aside an animal now for an ayla. He fulfilled his pledge. Yes. He didn't get it to the finish line because he didn't bring it as a carbon, but maybe the lav, the say, the force doesn't apply because he already filled it, and wherever the animal is, it is an ayla, Lashem. To kamashi legabe, he's keeping it, period. Tzricha, therefore, have to tell me that even in that case where he didn't bring it, it's considered enough to say he's over the say, let's say, and we force him, even though he already designated it but didn't bring it. And on the flip side, if you tell me the case where he was mafresh and doesn't bring it, I would have said to kamashi legabe, there's a worse issue over there. He's holding in his possession that which belongs to Gavaya, that which he's supposed to be giving to Gavaya, therefore it's more of a concern. If you just said it and never was mafresh, maybe his deeper alone is not enough of a consequence to be over that say, let's say, and the asucha. Therefore, we need both psukkim, we need pasuk to tell me, both in a case where the guy made a pledge and didn't even begin to fulfill the pledge, or he began to fulfill it by designating what he's going to give but didn't deliver yet. In both cases, if there's all these dinim, the lav, the say, and the asukha applies. Could you say we're talking about a case where the person, our pastor's talking about a case where the person made the pledge but didn't designate the carbon yet? Remember, one of the lines of the pasuk was, Nidava is something where you say, Harei ze'ayla. What was the difference between Nidarm and Nidava? Says Gemara, Hanadavik Siv, with time we learned the mission we spoke about yesterday. Ezu Neder, what is a Neder? But the guy says, Harei alai ayla. It's an ayla on me. And what is ve'ezu nedava? Harei zu ayla. This is an ayla. Umabi nedar nedava. What's the difference between nedar and nedava? Nedar may say nigna. The difference is very simple. When a guy says harei alai, it's on me. So he took the achrayas, and therefore, even if he goes subsequently and designates a carbon for the ayla and it gets lost or stolen, he's got to replace it because the chiv is riding on himself. When he says harei zu, this animal is the ayla. It's an ayla. He fulfilled his pledges right away. This animal's an ayla. If it gets lost or stolen or dies, he doesn't have to replace it because he made that an ayla. That was an ayla. He no longer didn't pledge to bring a replacement. Didn't pledge to bring an ayla. He pledged to bring this as an ayla. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, how can you tell me talking about a case where the animal wasn't, the person made the pledge, but the animal wasn't sanctified? One of the cases in the pasuk is nedava, and by definition, nedava is always where the item was already sanctified immediately. Very interesting case. The guy says, it's on me to bring an ayla. So he said a lashon of harei alai, but he said, I don't want techei v'cherusa. I don't want, even though normally harei alai means it's on me, and if I designate one, I gotta be a replacement, I don't want that second level. It's on me. He said, so basically he said a lashon of neder, but he wants to work with teres nedava. So you have a case where when I say teres nedava, I mean teres achrayas. So you have a case where it's going to be called, essentially, it's the lashon of neder, but it's going to be nedava. So when the pasuk says nedava, that includes this case. Even though he used lashon neder, that includes this case of nedava. He's not chayav achrayas, and he didn't yet designate the carbon. He didn't say which carbon it is. That could be our case. The first one discussed, why is that a problem? Masa mashakas b'teira. The Torah tells me neder is one way, nedava is another way. He's using lashon neder for nedava. They explain because it's just a usage of words. He's not going against what the Torah says. It's just his unique usage of words. But he means essentially he means nedava, and therefore it works. There's a concept of nedava. That's what he means. He's doing it in a unique way, but therefore it works. Says the Gemara right there. The fichu we dash the pasuk fichu means zutstaka. Amar Rav, a big chiddush. Staka mechayev al altar. Staka, what is mechayev? About acher immediately. Forget about 3 yom tevim, 2 yom tevim, 1 yom tev. Yechayev immediately. There's an ani. The version explained. It's Gemara really says. My time at the kaim aniim. Aniim are available. So I mean, as long as there's someone available to give the money to, you pledge to give money to aniim, and there's aniim around, It's unbelievable. There's a chiv immediately. Very, very scary thing. There's a chiv about the acher immediately, as long as there's any around. They pledge again. The price can discuss. That could be stiff with a maisid. If a lot of what people give money to is a maisid, when he pledges money to a maisid, we don't necessarily view it maybe over there about the acher right away. It's not someone waiting to eat that you're delaying and feeding them the food, even though the maisid may need the money to feed the people the food. Okay, but many maisid also are about not minimizing them, whether it's maisid of yeshivas or shuls, learning Torah, doing mitzvahs. That over there may not have the same. It may not be the same. It's maybe specifically about Ani, who's in front of you. Ask Mara. The Mara holds it's not a chiddush. It's pashit. I made a pledge to give money. This Ani who needs it. If I don't give it right away, I should be about Acher. Pshita says Gemara. Since we're darshening the din of tztaka that it has the din of Baal Acher from the psukim that are regarding karbanas, it should have the same thing as karbanas, like that it needs to be regalim. Kamash balan, hasamud las talin rachmanu regalim, avachad loy, dehashkicha inim. And this really, without getting into time with the krah, it's very simple. Karbanas made sense to be talin regalim, because that's when the person's eil regal to go to the Beis Hamikdash, so that's his talin regalim when he's chayef for his chayef for delaying for Baal Acher. When it comes to aniyim, the aniyim is right in front of him right now, and therefore there's no reason to say that he can go three regalim without paying it. He has to give the tzedakah money right away. Unbelievable halacha based on this. The Vayaram quotes from the Chafetz Chaim that if a person invites an ani, not so common today, Baruch Hashem, in our areas where we live, it happens, but it's not so common that a person is mamish an ani desperate for food. But if a person invites an ani to his house for Shabbos, unbelievable. And he delays in giving his kids the brachas, along Eshes Chayil, schmoozing in shul, schmoozing with the wife and kids. He's over Baal Ta'acher. The Avram is quoting Chafetz Chaim. The Avram would say, Lamaisa Hamanam doesn't do that. We don't find the Elam is Makbin, and therefore he doesn't disagree with the Lamdas. Says the Avram, but to be Malamit Schus on Hamanam is the person's pledge when he invited for the ani for the meal was when my meal starts, the normal fashion when my meal starts, that's when my pledge is. So I'm not going to delay past the normal starting time. But the fact that he schleps from after davening until he starts the meal, that's not considered. He eats his meal Shabbos lunch at 1 o'clock. That's what he eats. So that was the pledge. It's a very logical sfer. That was the pledge, but not the pshat that then theory wouldn't be an isser. Really, it would be an isser about Acher, but because over here that's the pledge, it wouldn't be a problem. That's the Avram defends Ami Avakayso, but listen to how fight this goes. The Chafetz Chaim, when he had guests in his house, would skip Shalom Aleichem. The Chafetz Chaim would not sing Shalom Aleichem because he was nervous about Baal Ta'acher. He would not sing Shalom Aleichem. I forget there's a little bit of rumbling about Kiddush too, but I think because there's Kiddush in Shul, the Rice, he's Yetzir, I'm pretty sure he didn't skip Kiddush, even though it's on the house of like Rabbanon. But Shalom Aleichem, he skipped because he said it after, instead during the meal. He didn't see Shalom. Unbelievable. That's how scary he was of this idea of Baal Ta'acher. Just to give a musig to all of us, to ourselves.
We're talking about there in these cases.
Sorry?
Where is the neder in these cases? You invited the
no. Staka, that's staka. You tell the ani, I'm going to give you food. You tell the ani, I'm going to give you a meal. Why is that not a pledge? That's a pledge. He invited the ani, I'm going to give you a meal. Yeah, it's unbelievable. So the chumrakite of just going back to regular, the guy pledges to give money, and there's a nitzrach, mamash needs money to eat, and he pledges to give money, a person should do it right away. Again, in our parts, for the most part, there's not so common, certainly inviting over for a Shabbos meal. Most people are not inviting a neem who literally don't have what to eat. That's why B'chlau, when we discuss Achnas Archim, when we invite guests, it's still an element of creating Aviv Reyes, but that element of giving people food who don't have what to eat is less common. You find it a little more with travelers. Travelers could be a more of a status. Someone who's traveling, who's, you know, especially let's say in Toronto, there's no real hotel. I mean, you can go to the store, buy food, and take it to wherever he's staying. For Shabbos, he's not mamish an ani and nitzrich, but he doesn't really have a place to eat. That could be really a gather along the lines of an ani. They actually speak it out. The place we discussed, I heard this from Ari Leibowitz. I'm not sure if his owner is from his Rebbe, Hershey Shechter, but he's beautiful. He said, we know that when a person's wife and children, they have a status that his obligation is to feed them. So it's not a nether, but it's an obligation on the father, the husband, to feed the wife and children. If he delays coming home from shul, it could be the same gather. It could be the same gather of being Baal Ta'acher because they're waiting for him. They're dependent on him. Could be schlepping. He said, obviously, everything's with reason. You're not going to say, don't go to shul. So you're allowed to go to shul. You're allowed to take a Shabbos, people. But if you're the guy that sits and shmooz there for an hour afterwards, not thinking about the wife and kids, there's a new issue to worry about, a deraisa Baal Ta'acher, as I zakt Rab Leibu Shlita. Okay. Says the word for the Amrav.
What about the mashava?
What do you mean? That's a separate idea. There is a concept that, and you go back to Liza's question. Okay. Yes, there is a concept that machshava also can obligate someone when it comes to tztaka and hekdesh, right? a person's certainly amirasa legavaya is to be amirasa lehedya, but even machshava alone does obligate. But Liza was asking that where was the pledge? Even if you verbally declared, "I'm going to give you a meal," where's the pledge? Our answer was that offering a meal is also staka. That's also a pledge. Amirava kivat shavala reglacha. Once one yantif passes, aiver baseis, aiver aseis. So this is a new idea. We've been talking about leisa say. I mean, we did discuss aseis as well, but the zman we've been talking about was for leisa says three regalim. Rava says when it comes to that say one regal is ever. Meisvei the answer kasha Rava. Hey, to be sure, Pius alvat shlamim shikav shlamim. The vat shlamim shikav shlamim. Amar Pius. Any man shayis lana par ashes of shlamim. We had a par member. Shlamim could be a boy or a girl. It could be a male or female animal. Not a boy or a girl. A male or female animal. So if a shlamim has a vlad, the vlad also brothers of shlamim. And if Pius said Eidus, that what? We had a parish of shlamim v'chanu Pesach, which we ate on Pesach, v'chanu vada shlamim b'chag. And we ate the vlad on Sukkot. Now let's do the math. If we ate the mother on Pesach, that means the mother gave birth to the vlad shlamim before Pesach, right? Or on Pesach, right? It was shechted. It was dead by Pesach. That means the vlad should have been brought by Shavuos. Maybe Pesach wasn't over because the Vlad wasn't around before Pesach. But if you're over Baltachar passing one Yomtiv, the Asay, by passing one Yomtiv, Hakar Papaya St. Aegis that we ate it on Sukkot, you pass through Shavuos, probably Shavuos. Bishlama Pesach, Akrav Lumar spells out for us what we spoke out. Bishlama Pesach, like we didn't bring up Pesach itself, Amid the Mechuz Zman, Havik, because I'd say it was too premature at that time. Ashlam is a carbon. Yinala Shechta for 8 days. It was born within 8 days of Pesach was over already, and therefore it was born on Pesach itself, or right before Pesach. You couldn't bring it, okay, no Baltachar.
Recording in progress.
You couldn't bring it. I see that I'm rebooting. 1 second. I'm now mute. Okay, could you, I hope that I'm back. Could you hear me again? Could you hear me now? So, the,
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's better.
Thank you. So the case by Pesach, you can't bring it, is because it was because his mom. Ella Vlada, Batseris, Hekim Shachasla. The animal was a chayla by Shavuos. Since the animal was a chayla by Shavuos, the vlad, the baby animal, was a chayla by Shavuos, you couldn't bring it. We had the other day we discussed when an animal is a mum aver, you can't bring it. In the interim, you're not bringing it. But once you can't bring it, there's no isser of altacher, there's no isser of aseh, you're not about to aseh. That's answer number one. So, mamash hachmai askinan. The case by Rav Papayas was my shalya. The case was where the vlad was unwell, b'shas, is unwell b'shas Shavuos. Very simple answer that we know Chag typically refers to Chag alone is Chag HaSukkos. But we also call Chag HaPesach Chag HaShavuos. We do call it. Chag in this context means Shavuos. Says the Gemara, V'idach, why talk in such a simple terrace? Why aren't the first answer, why aren't the answer? Because whenever you say Pesach, you correspond with Atzeres. You don't say Pesach and then Chag and refer to Atzeres Shvius as Chag. Shvius as Chag. If it says Pesach would have said Atzeres, it must be Chag HaSukkos. Therefore, he said it must be the animal was sick. Amar Rava. Another din of Rava regarding delaying vows. Kivish Avril of Shalosh Regalim, B'chol Yom Vem Ayver B'chol Badacher. When a person does not bring his carbon within 3 regalim, after 3 regalim, every single day, he's Ayver Elav of Badacher. Meisvei. Every day. Meisvei. It's Shalom. Why every day? Why every minute? What defines every day? Okay. Meisvei. We have a kasha from the following brayso. Echa b'char v'echa kol kachim, say b'char, say ol kachim, kibish avalem, shana b'lei regalim. If a person is over a year, we'll explain how that's possible. He passes through a year, even though he don't have 3 regalim. Or regalim b'lei shana. Or he passes through regalim, even though you don't have a full year. Over b'bal tachar. In both those cases, what's over b'bal tachar? Okay, what's the question? Rava said that after the Shalosh Regalim, you have your Baltachar every day. We're bringing a question because we see the Brisa discusses when one is Eiver Baltachar, either 3 Regalim without a year or a year without 3 Regalim. Ask the Gemara, what was your question exactly? I'm Rav Kana, it's a beautiful question. The one who asked the question is asking as follows. Michti, Tana, Alavi, Kamadu. The Tana is coming to show how easy to sort of speak or how frequent the person can be Eiver Baltachar by either 3 Regalim. Either that or passing the year without the regalim, which again we still have to explain what that case is, but going either way, the person would be every baltacher. So Rav said, remember that every baltacher every single day, shouldn't that not have been listed in this brisa, being a riboy of scenarios where a person is every baltacher, says the Gemara, v'idach, sorry, I skipped the words. Alav Kamader, listening b'chol yom yom every baltacher. When you say that every day every baltacher, that would be an extreme amount of scenarios of baltacher. Answers the Gemara, the deflection of idach, tana lemikvei b'lav kamader, b'lav yisevi lekamader. The rest is a very simple chilek. Saying the once every baltacher, 3 regalim without a full year. Where full year, that's where you're going, is listing the amount of scenarios, how many scenarios one can be over lav. You're not listing how many lav in the person's over, the scenarios. This price is focused on how many cases a person, how it's possible to be over the lav, not how many times over the lav. And therefore, the fact that it doesn't mention that you're over lav every day, it's not a riot against Rava that one's not over lav. Maybe indeed one is over lav every day, and it doesn't mention it because that wasn't the focus of this price. Okay, gufa. Once we quote this price for a question, we're going to analyze it a bit. If a year passed, even without three yom tovim, or regalim, three regalim passed, b'leishana, ayval dachir, ayval dachir. Says the Gemara, mishlam regalim b'leishana. Having three regalim passed without a full year, it's fairly obvious. Mishkach's law, it's very simple to find. Basically, if a person, it's almost any time a person makes a pledge, he'll pass three regalim before he passes a full year. Right, because wherever he's at, there's time between the most recent Yom Tov. Like I say, we're a couple weeks after Sukkot, right? We're 3 weeks after Sukkot. The person makes a pledge right now, it'll be less than a year till the end of next Sukkot. So you get all three Yom Tovim in less than a year. That's simple. How do you get a year without regalim? It doesn't mean any regalim, but it means without three regalim. How do you get a year which didn't have three regalim in it? So if you go like the Tana Bar Mishnah, first mission of the Masechta, first words of the Masechta, right? The Rosh Hashanah for Yom Tovim is Nisan, and we explain that goes according to Reb Shimon, who holds that the Bal Ta'achar is only when you have three Yom Tovim in order, the order of Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, so you can have a year without regalim. What that means is you still have three regalim, but you don't have three regalim. It's got to be three regalim in order. So the guy makes a pledge before Shavuos, let's say between Pesach and Shavuos, he has all the way till the end of next Sukkot, a year and a half, till he's almost come out the year in 4 months, till he's over Bal Ta'achar. That's a case where you have a year with the year will pass before the regalim pass. That makes sense. So Hanich Lamad Damer, this like Kesidron Mishkachas La Elman Blessed Kesidron. Quote Lamad Damer, who doesn't have the idea of Kesidron. Hanich Mishkachas. How do you find the case we have a year without three regalim? So Mar says again, Bishlam the Rebbe Mishkachas La B'Shanu Muberes. According to Rebbe, it'll be a leap year. We have an extra Adar this year, so you have a leap year. That's the case. We have a full year without three regalim, and the Mar explains. The pasuk is a full year. Rebbe Eimer, this is talking about, by the way, the Shana Tamima pasuk is talking where? By Bat Erechaima. One sells a house in a walled city. He has up to a year to go back and say, I want to retract the sale. He has back the money. I want back the house, right? Up to a year. Bat Erechaima. So it says Shana Tamima there. And Rebbe Eimer over there, minus Shalish, Meis, Shish, Chamish, Yimim. You count 365 days. We find constant places in Shas where we give credence to the solar calendar. We've had it, I forgot where, but not so far back, where we discussed based on the solar calendar, right? We find constant places in Shas, but here again, 365 is the solar calendar. We always think our calendar primarily is based on the moon, obviously, and it's based on the lunar schedule, but it's not the pshat that the solar calendar is just for Goyim. We also give credence, you see right over here. You count 365 days, Kiminyan Maisachama, like the solar year, and that's the amount of time for the Shana Tamima. They say no, you count 12 months, Vimis Abrashana, this Abrahlai. You count 12 months on a regular year, and if the year is extended, then he gets the extra month as well. Meaning you go based on the lunar year completely, 12 months or 13 months, whatever it is. Mishkach, so according to Rebbe, it's very good. Mishkach is the Rebbe. Actually, Basar Chagamatzis. The case with the guy was Makis Shami right after Pesach. Tichimata Shile Adar. When it comes to the Adar, the second Adar, Basra, Shana Ma'aya Regalim Lamalu. You finished the year, but you didn't finish the Regalim. Meaning, you make a pledge right after Pesach, and then there's a second Adar, so that by 12 months later in the lunar calendar is the end of Adar. It's not the next Nisan, it's the end of Adar. So you've finished, and if you're counting even 365 days, 365 days will pass before the next Pesach passes. So according to Rebbe, you have a case. But according to Rabban, they always go by the lunar calendar. So you're back to the question, how do you have a case we have a year that passed without three regalim? You always get a three regalim within the year. Answers the Gemara, Kentani, Rishmaya, Atzeres, Pam Chamisha, Pam Shisha, Pam Sheva. The Yom Tov of Shavuah sometimes is the fourth of Sivan, sometimes the fifth of Sivan, the sixth, or the seventh. Haketzad, Shneim, Malayim. If Nisan and Ir were full months, they were 30-day months, then that means Shavuos is going to fall out earlier, because you count 50 days from Pesach until you get the Shavuos. So what's going to be Shavuos is going to be the fifth of Sivan. Shteim Chaserim, if both Nisan and Ir are 29-day months, the 29-day months, the Chaser months, then Shavuos is going to be on the seventh of Sivan. B'Shiva, Shteim Chaserim B'Shiva. Echamah V'Chaser Shisha, if one day, 1 month, Nisan and Ir, one of them was Mali, one of them was Chaser, then Shavuos will be on the Shisha. Chaser, it's going to be Shisha on the sixth day of Sivan. So what's this? So simple. So the case is like this. A person makes a pledge right after Shavuos, in a year where Shavuos fell out on Yom Hei, on the fifth day of Sivan, he makes a pledge on the sixth of Sivan, that's the after Shavuos. 1 year later, on the calendar, Miyam Liyam, like the Chacham say, will be the sixth of Sivan the next year. If Shavuos that year fell on the seventh, It'll come out, she was only one day yantav, it'll come out that he went a full year, but didn't have yom tovim. That's Eichad Emza. Who says Gemara, Uman Tana Tefagel B'Shamay. And who's the author that argues on that idea that Shavuos could be the 5th, the 6th, or the 7th of the month? Achirmi. The Achirim argued the time we learned the advice. Achirim, I'm Achirim saying, Aim Bein Atzeres L'Atzeres. He specifically says, Achirim says about Shavuos. There's no difference between Shavuos 1 year and Shavuos the next year. Aim Bein Rashana Rashana. Nor is there difference between Rashana 1 year and the Rashana next year. El Arbam Yom Bavad. 4 days is the difference. Meaning, within a week, let's just say, one falls out on Sunday, the other will fall out in the subsequent year. It's going to fall out 4 days later. And 4 days later, the week later, so it'll go from Sunday, if my math is correct, to Thursday. It comes out 4 days later. The math is very simple, actually. We know a year has, the Jewish calendar has how many days? 354 days. Simple math. 354 days, right? The Jewish, the lunar calendar, right? Except when there's no leap year. If you take 350, simply 350 is divisible by 7, 50 times. So 50 weeks times 7 days is 350 days. How many days are remaining? Extra, the remainder is 4. 4 days. So whatever day something falls out one year on the calendar, that let's say Rosh Hashanah or Shavuos, the next year will be 4 days apart. The point is that clearly he's not cheshbonning in that Shavuos itself could be on the 4th, 5th, on the 5th, 6th, or 7th of the month, because then it wouldn't be left after 4 days. You have another cheshbon to reckon with. The cheshbon you have to reckon with as well is the year may not be exactly 354 days. Really, to break it down further, it's very simple, is this man number holds that, this man number according to Manah holds that every lunar year is 354 days because you have 6 months of Malay, 6 times 30 is 180, and 6 months of Chasser, 6 times 29 is 174. 174 and 180 is 354. He holds it's fixed. The other man that we quoted till now holds you can have both Nisan and year be Chasser, meaning you can end up having many, multiple Chasser months in a row. You can have years with only 352 days and years with 356 days. And therefore, it doesn't work out. That's going to be 4 days apart. That's the court of Amadamar. You would have the answer we said before about Shavuos being earlier and later. It says Gemara, El Arbam Vad, the Vaisa Shana Muberas Chamisha. Now, a leap year, we're adding extra month, so let's do the math, let's stick with the math. It'll be 5 days. Why 5 days? Because you're already 4 days apart. You're 4 days apart. Plus, add that to the, let's call it a 29-day month. Call it a 29-day month. 28 days is exactly 4 weeks. So you added one extra day. So you have now 5 days off. Last Gemara, it's a little late. Bayu Rabzeira, Yerush Ma'al Baltachar. What is the halacha of Yerush Ma'al Baltachar? Kisid the neder machmana v'halay neder. Yerush didn't make the neder. I deal with Shama v'Shama. Since he has the say to bring it up, from Mechayev, and he's Mechayev the say, therefore maybe he should be subject to the is the lav as well. That's the shayla. Tashma is being a raya. Tatari Abchia. Me'imach prat Yerush. Me'imach is a miyat. It comes to exclude Yerush. We learned Mimach two, three bottles ago, that I'm sure remember, Tap of Ambeis, like a Shechem Beis is included from Imach. How can you say it's used to exclude Yerush? It says about Karibay Imach, the Karibay Me'imach. We have two drushes there from Imach and Me'imach. One is to say, the like a Shechem Beis, and one is to exclude the Yerush. We'll pause over here and pick it up.